The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Presents Life Solutions, coaching, counseling, naturopathic medicine, insights for successful living, and getting better with Ann Beale.
Welcome. We are here today. It's raining. Unfortunately, it had been so beautiful here in Dallas, Fort Worth. Today it's raining. We do need rain. It's spring. April showers bring Mayflowers.
And Mayflowers bring?
Mayflowers.
Pilgrims, right?
Yeah. Well, I want Mayflowers. So we have May showers and Mayflowers. So who knows? Anyway.
Yes, we do. It's I'm coming down pretty
time.
Hard
Sorry
today.
About that. Okay. We are here because this week has been very interesting. We've had a lot of our listeners commenting, a lot of rants about the world we live in today and the craziness that's going on. I went to get my haircut, and my hairstylist said it's been horrible. People have been so mean because where she works, they require a mask to open up so that people feel safe enough to come in there. They have masks on, and that's what they're the owner requires.
Yeah, this is not her requirement.
No,
it's the owner's
not.
Requirement.
Yeah.
And there's nothing she can do about it.
No, and it's a big company. And so she is like, I have to wear a mask, and everyone who comes in here has to have a mask on. And she said either people are terrified and saying, oh my, she said if she gets hair in her mask and she has to pull the mask off a little bit, people freak out like, oh my gosh, did you just breathe on me? Or she has her mask on and people will come in and she'll tell them they have to have a mask. Oh my gosh, are you communist now? Are you communist? I'm not going to be a communist. Do we live in China? And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm just trying to make a living here.
Right.
Okay. And so it's like there's no win there. People have gotten so angry on both sides. And I feel like the media and even politicians try to divide us more and more all the time. And so then we hear other rants that are mostly about when did it go from flattening the curve? And that's why we sheltered in. And we all did that. We all did what we all together as a nation did that. That now somehow it's become finding a cure. Like finding a cure. Like, okay, finding a cure for AIDS. Like, oh my gosh, years and years and years. Finding a cure for cancer. We still don't have one. Finding a cure for the flu. We don't have a cure for the flu. And the vaccine doesn't work at least half of the time or more. And a lot of people don't take it because of that. There's some crazy side effects. I've had a lot of clients get Guillain-Barré and they're paralyzed for a year.
Right.
So there's a lot of scary things. So some people don't want to take that chance. And in America, we have a choice. We also have people who are just mad about having to wear a mask. Now, I have asthma. So if I wear a mask, I have a lot more trouble breathing and I can have an asthma attack. So I'm breathing in carbon dioxide, which is supposed to be a waste. We're breathing out the waste. We breathe in oxygen, which is healing to our body, and it helps us. And then we breathe out the waste. And so I don't want to, if I have a mask on, I get sicker. I have more trouble breathing. And so for someone to demand that I wear a mask so I won't catch something else, well, what if I have an asthma attack, right? And so for me to have the choice based on what's best for my health, well, that's what America's all about, freedom. So people just feel like, the other thing is, when do adults walking down the street or in a store walk up and tell you what to do? Unless they're the owner, or the police or a judge or something like that. As adults, we're not used to having people just tell us what to do all the time or yell at us because we're walking outside. I mean, I have a listener that she just went to the park and her neighbors were yelling. Well, that was across the street from her house. And people were yelling at her, like, get out. You're supposed to be inside. Get off the street. And so no adult in America likes to be yelled at, to be told what to do by our peers. That's right. Not how it works.
And, you know, a lot of these things have added up so much over time that we have people who normally come to us for help on a fairly regular basis. We're in our mental health clinic. People are nearly everybody who comes in says, man, I am so frustrated.
Yes, we're getting a lot of anger.
Frustration, aggravation, irritation, mm-hmm. anger, and we know that there's a lot of fallout from what's happened and being isolated and all that kind of thing. And there's all kinds of stuff going on. And so, you know, we thought we might offer some help for things for people to think about and follow up on today, follow through on, that might help with that.
Dr. Jim Slaughter, the genius on stress and anger management. He is a stress and anger specialist in his book, Anger Control. But today we're going to take a different take. We talked about things on anger control, mm-hmm. but we are going to give you insight from a book that we've just been so blown away by it. It's called 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do by Amy Morin.
Right. And the neat thing about this is, you know, often what you run across, books or articles or whatever, have to do with what you should do. In order to keep yourself safe,
yes.
or, you know, whatever it may be. But this is interesting. She's taking the other approach, things you don't do.
Things you don't do.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's really done a good job, and others have commented on her work. And we thought we might at least bring out some of the things, a few of the things that she mentions, because we think they're so useful to everyone, really, in today's situation we find ourselves in.
Now, it's interesting. So Amy Morin is a psychotherapist, and she had a situation. So when she was 23, her mother suddenly died from a brain aneurysm. And then 3 years later, her husband at age 26 suddenly died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Amy felt like she was sliding into a dark mental place. So she reflected on her work as a psychotherapist and the things she tells people. And she reminded herself, basically, to take her own advice. And she reminded herself and actually just started writing things down, and she came up with the 13 things that mentally strong people don't do, and the 13 reasons why her parents had failed to recover from a tragedy, or her patients had recovered from a tragedy or a setback. So she compared the ones who recovered and the ones who didn't recover, and she basically came up with the 13 things that mentally strong people don't do. And that makes them successful. Now, she's narrowed it down to make it real simple. And then we had another author who took it and even simplified it more. Mm-hmm. So there's a few people who've taken this and even made it and taken her work and made it better. So there are three main things, basically. And that's the cool thing. There are three main things that if you don't do, the other 10 won't happen.
Yes, that's right.
That's
and so,
really
you know,
cool.
We like to keep things simple. We need things simple, and we believe everybody can function better
yes.
if we make it easy to understand and make it simple. So we took these top three, these main three things that Amy Morin came up with, mm-hmm. and we wanted to at least use part of our program today to tell you about these.
Yes. So if you are listening on 1160 AM, and you're not getting a very good reception with the weather, you can go to bigdtalk.com. So that's big, B-I-G, D as in Dallas, and talk, TALK.com. And you can also watch on Facebook at Getting Better with Ann Beal. And then we will also post this on YouTube later on.
Mm-hmm.
So just know that there's other ways to get us, and we just thank you for listening. And we're here every Saturday at 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And we're just glad you've joined us, because we want to get better together. And one of the things that I'd love for you to say is that I'm getting better and better every day in every way.
There you go.
Right? Okay. So from there, Mr. Slaughter, Dr. Slaughter, take over. Number one.
Well, okay. And we wanted to start with these three important principles things that mentally strong people don't do. And so we're encouraging you to think about this and not do them. And the first one is simply that mentally strong people don't feel the world owes them anything. Anytime we go through life believing that we deserve something and then it doesn't happen, or we don't have exactly what we think we deserve, things seem unfair, our mental stability is off quite a bit. And so what she's suggesting is one of the reasons that we find ourselves in dark places and even in depression is because we believe that we deserve something we haven't received, that the world has messed with us, that life has left us by the side of the road or something, and we deserve so much more, but we're not getting it. And so she's saying that, and I agree with this, that when we get ourselves there, we're not going to be in a really good place. And so one of the things that mentally strong people don't do is to believe and work off the premise that the world owes me something that it hasn't given me. Now, I worked hard to get this business going. I have done everything I can to help people, other people, and yet things aren't coming back to me.
Well, and I think right now the reality is a lot of people feel that right now because of their business.
Right.
And so it is all the way you frame things. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and I don't mean that, I don't want to have people think that I'm not sympathetic to people whose businesses are struggling because of all this.
But to
stuff
be careful, because it's how you frame it that will determine if you get through it.
You're talking about putting it in positive terms.
Yes,
right?
How you frame it. And you know, we've had a lot of deaths in our family lately, and there's a lot of money that's come in. And I've had people say, well, you haven't gotten anything. Aren't you angry about that? And I thought, well, it never even entered my mind. No, I'm not, because my family members are getting it. And that helps me so much, and I'm so happy for them. And it does. It takes a lot of burden off me because I'm a worrier about family. And so that's how I frame it. But that's kind of how I tend to do things anyway.
Right.
I don't have that deserved mentality. I don't see things like that. And I think that mentally strong people tend to, even though they do think they're a good person, you know, but they don't look at things as fair and unfair, because if you really look at the whole world, we have it pretty good. And that's where,
really good,
you know,
right.
With us being in psychotherapy and us running clinics, we see a lot of people, so many people that are worse off than us. And so it helps us get perspective. But I think if people, their world gets too small, meaning they don't have a bigger view of people that are struggling more than them, right, then they don't see that it is, and you know, it's pretty equal across the world if you look at it, that we all in all have a better way. But we're used to that, so we can get entitled and we can feel like it's not fair.
Right. And would you think it would be safe to say that if when we begin feeling like we aren't getting what we deserve, that maybe we might find ourselves in a better place if we move from deserve to serve.
Yes,
serving other people.
Well, when we get our eyes off ourselves. I do think, though, people are mad because they're not. Now, we're in Dallas and we're reopening. So,
right.
You know, I'm not talking about those listeners. We are reopening, even though hairstylists and all those people, massage and health clubs, they've just opened. So They've had a harder thing. And restaurants are finally going to be open at 50% on Monday. So they're finally, most of them are just finally starting to open. So they've had a hard time. And I don't want to minimize that. But there are people in other parts of our country that haven't gotten to open at all. Mm-hmm. And they can't work. And the thing is that we worked, if you think of how long we worked to build our business. I mean, I've worked 20 years to build my business. And if any in the first five was tough, first year especially. And so if I finally got it up and almost stable and I was finally making money and then they shut me down like this, it would ruin me. And I would definitely let you know these people that this has happened to. And so I understand the anger, because they would rather go fight for their business and not, you know, I don't care. Let me take a chance to go fight for my business. Let me get out there and fight for it. Let me make the decision if I want to risk my life. Because most people, they would risk their lives to save their family, to make sure they have food. So what's happening in Spain right now is that people don't have food. They're like, I'm hungry. I mean, people that have never been hungry are hungry because they haven't been able to pay for stuff. So that's when people are saying, let me make that decision. Let me make the decision about risking my own life. I risk it every day for flu. I risk it every day for HIV. I risk it every day for things that are out there, right? And we don't get it. But sometimes we get it. So we work in our clinic, and we always have, to try to make sure we don't get the flu and we don't give other people the flu.
And if we have symptoms, we're going to go home and we're going to take care of them right then, and we know what to do about that.
And that's tough, and so, because, you know, if we go home, we don't make anything. And so making that decision, that's all about America, freedom to choose. That's what America's always been about. So this is a very hard place for everyone. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about, number one, what to do about that instead of feeling like someone owes you something and that life isn't fair and you don't deserve this, because that leads to anger and despair.
Yeah,
we want you instead to be able to...
focusing more on what I have rather than focusing on what I don't have.
And to take action. That's one of the things that people can get bogged down in their anger and get bitter and resentful, mm-hmm. instead of taking good action. And taking good action moves you forward so that you can be better and get through the tragedy. So when you come back, we are going to tell you how to move forward in the tragedy and in the hard time and take action by reframing your thoughts.
I have to admit, it's getting better, a little better.
And now here's more Getting Better with Ann Beal on 1160 AM KBDT.
Mentally strong people don't feel the world owes them anything. Well, I know that if you had everything a certain way and then it's gone, you feel like you deserve what you had, right? And that's not necessarily untrue. It's that if you focus on that and you make that what you're all about and you just delve into that, the unfair, the, you know, and then you just become a victim because you're not taking action to change that. So we want you to understand that what mentally strong people do, they don't feel like the world owes them something. They shift their focus to people in need. So if you think right now of all the people that you know, instead of being divided and let the media divide you over all this stuff, you know, mask, not mask, reopening, not reopening, on and on and on, finding a cure, not finding a cure, whatever. You can be divided over so many things. And then there's the whole science thing. Science, okay? So it's interesting that it seems like the reopenings are kind of falling along political lines, and science is even falling along political lines. So it's so amazing that you can take science and make it a political weapon. Like, this is science. No, this is science. Oh, this is science. So even doctors are disagreeing. Everyone is disagreeing. And so we're trying to get you to see, if you focus on what you can offer others, then you'll not fall into the pit of the other things that can make you very bitter and resentful and unwell in lots of ways, and handling your anger inappropriately. So what are the other things that, if you feel the world owes you something, then you can fall into feeling like the world owes you a lot more. And you start wasting time feeling sorry for yourself instead of taking good actions or doing things that will help you in the future. And then it helps you, if you don't do that, to stop keeping score of our injustices and forget the world owes you, so that you can stop resenting other people's success, which is what people were like, aren't you mad? Don't you feel rejected or blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, no, I don't. I feel blessed. I feel blessed. And that's where we want you to change your focus and offer to others. So if you think of all your family and friends and coworkers, some of your family aren't doing very well right now. And don't let anybody divide you from calling and checking and talking to them and see how they're doing. And don't bring up all the political things. Just like you did before, have conversations. If you can go see them, go see them. If you have coworkers, some will be doing well, some will not be doing well, right?
Yes. And, you know, we've discovered this in our lives in different situations with even people in the neighborhood, people at work. And so, but there are some things that we can do. And one of the things that you mentioned was reaching out.
Reaching out,
and we
yes.
can certainly do that with a phone conversation. We can call someone. We can text somebody.
Yes.
And just encourage them about, you know, how they're doing. And just to have a conversation usually is a very encouraging thing. If you like social media of different kinds, you can get on there and you can use that, you know. But the main thing that you were saying, I think, is so important, and is that, you know, often we'll get ourselves in a situation where that's all we can think about, that we focus on how unfair things are. And so when we find ourselves doing that, we're going to have to blast out of that, or we're just going to keep going downhill.
Well, and I do think that thinking it through because when I walked in the hair place and they said, do you have a mask? You have to have a mask. They didn't say it in a very nice way. I mean, not at all. This lady, mm-hmm. she wasn't nice. And it felt very accusatory, like I was a bad person. Mm-hmm. And I said, I do have a mask, but it causes my asthma to get worse. And, well, you can't have a mask if you're not here. So a lot of it was the way she said it.
Right.
And so then I hesitated because I don't like being talked to that way. Yeah. And I had to, so I stepped out of the building, you know, stepped out of the place and thought it through. Okay, I do have a mask. I'm only in there. I'm only getting my hair cut. It only takes 30 minutes. I won't get, you know, won't hurt me too bad to put the mask on with my asthma.
Good job. Good job.
Yes, because I really wanted my hair cut. And then it wasn't the hairstylist's fault that the other person talked to me that way. And I waited all this time to get my hair cut. So I thought it through. And the one thing that I remembered, what Dr. Minerith always told me, my mentor when I was learning how to run a practice and counseling and everything, he would always tell us, remember, Ann, be kind. Be kind. Every time I left, remember, Ann, be kind.
Which is really another theme of our show today. Rather than being angry and mean, be kind and compassionate as we go through this together.
And as soon as that thought came in my mind, be kind, mm-hmm. I calmed down. I walked a little bit, and then I went back in, and I was perfectly fine.
Yep.
And then she talked to me about all the stuff that was happening to her and how hard it was on her, and then I felt better, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where listening to other people's pain helps you. And learning that everyone is out there just trying to figure this thing out. And so try to bring down the judgmental and just think of being kind to people. Think of what you can do in the situation you're in to help and think it through. And one of the things we're going to talk about after break is when you fall off a horse, do you just get right back on or do you stop and think about it? How did I fall off? What did I do wrong? Is something broken? Making a good choice.
One. Are you struggling?
Nature.
To admit, it's getting better. A little better. All the time.
If you'd like to get better, call Ann right now. 214-810-8255. 214-810-TALK. Now more with Ann Beal on 1160 AM KBDT.
I am excited to announce this. The NASCAR Cup Series is back.
Yes, all right.
Yay. That's good, so exciting. So join us tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 here for 400 miles at the track. Too tough to tame, Darlington. Only here, 1160 AM KBDT, News Talk and Sports. It's exciting to have NASCAR back.
It is, yes. Yes, it is.
Now, they're in their cars, but people, oh my gosh, the people will swarm there. They love it. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. I'm just excited that life, I want life back to normal so much. Maybe a better normal.
Yes.
Anything
we don't want
could be
this
better.
Normal. We want
no,
a
not this normal.
Better normal.
I don't want this. Yes. So another thing that mentally strong people don't focus on is things they cannot control.
Yeah, I tell you, I've talked about this so much. I would think that the majority of guys that come to see me in the clinic are really very frustrated, angry, irritated, aggravated, all of that. And the main thing they say is, I feel so controlled. And, you know, people hate that. People don't like being controlled unless they're just brainwashed into it or something. And people are very upset about that.
Well, and a lot of people don't know about when you get out, like Roger Stone or somebody is out of prison now. Maybe not Roger Stone, but they're out of prison. Well, they're on home arrest.
House arrest.
House arrest. Mm-hmm. And this is what it's like. This is house arrest. And you don't go out. Yeah. So, and then the other people are the theory that we have to find a cure first. Well, they could do that with anything. And that's what's scary. They could say that about the flu. They could say that about anything that they haven't found a cure for yet. So we'd never get to leave. And so Elon Musk feels like house arrest, right? And so a lot of people, they do that. And they don't even realize that's what it is. They feel like they're being controlled. But whatever it is, if it's something that you can't control, okay, which is what you were saying that men have a hard time with.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I see women. I know women that some have a hard time with that. But if you can't control it, if you focus on that, it is going to just wear you down so far and make you really sick and really, really angry. And we see people getting really angry mm-hmm. because they feel so kind of not in control at all.
Right.
I mean, about anything.
Well, and that's one of the things that you might expect, because we live in a country where, for the most part, we have had freedom, as our Constitution guarantees us, freedom to make good decisions, go our own way, build our own business, whatever. And now we don't.
No, we don't.
And people are very upset about that, very angry about it. And some even believe that there's no need for this.
Well, and
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
There was a lady, Heather Von St. James, who was diagnosed with cancer when her daughter was 3 months old. And Heather went through multiple surgeries, radiation, and chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And 12 months later, she was cancer-free. However, Heather feared the cancer would return and her daughter would grow up without a mother. Okay, so that's being afraid you're going to get sick again. Mm-hmm. And that fear, and there is that fear out there. People are terrified they're going to get this coronavirus, this COVID-19. They are terrified. Now, I find it interesting because I don't like the flu either. And this flu's tough. This flu, mm-hmm. we've had people out for like 7 weeks with this flu. I don't want to get that either. I don't want to get sick. Even missing a week or two from our business is very, very hard on us. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you think about it, cancer is a killer. It's very terrifying. And so this is what she was terrified about, and it kind of overtook her. Terrified that she couldn't completely control the cancer from returning, and she had her 3-year-old daughter. So she took out a marker, and she wrote down her fears on a plate. Now, I find this very interesting. Mm-hmm. She wrote her fears on a plate. Then she went outside and started a big fire. So, well, let's assume it's a fire pit or something. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And she smashed the plate into the fire. Mm-hmm. Now, this helped her so much. She said the act of letting go of what she couldn't control helped her live each day to the fullest. So she knew that she couldn't control those things, and there's nothing that she could do about it. So she just burned it. She smashed it first, and there is something very...
There's something therapeutic about smashing
There's something
things.
Therapeutic. So I've had people say, why did she break the plate in the fire? I mean, either... burn a paper in a fire or break a plate. And I'm like, well, no, she maxed it out. She broke it and burned it. Like, oh my gosh. So what's interesting about that is she was so rejuvenated by the fact that this worked. Mm-hmm. She started hosting retreats for other people to do things when they're terrified and beyond, you know, things are beyond their control. That she started hosting these retreats, and they would end up doing the same thing. She would take them through this process. Mm-hmm. So when you feel like your life is out of control, you can do that, or you can take out a piece of paper, which you were talking about on the way here.
Yeah, she suggested also taking a piece of paper and drawing a horizontal line through the middle of the piece of paper. And above the line, you write the things that are kind of out of control, you have no control over in your life. Mm-hmm. And then below, you write the things that you do have control over in your life. And then after you're through with that, you tear the paper in half along that line, or you cut it along that line. And then you take that upper part, you crumble it up, and then you light fire to that and burn that up. And she says, just watch your fears burn away, burn up.
Or you can tear it. Kids, I have kids, and I let them tear magazines when they're angry. Right. And so they'll tear paper into mm-hmm. little bitty pieces. Mm-hmm. And you can do that with it. What I can't control list. You can tear it in little bitty pieces.
And so tear it.
Yeah. And it's actually it feels good.
Well,
it's weird.
It is. It's therapeutic. There is no doubt about it.
So there are things like that you can do. You want to get rid of worrying about thinking about the things you can't control. I mean, they're going to be in the back of your mind. But you can't spend all your time there, and you're wasting time because, as we said, you can't do anything about it.
Right. And let me just say, too, I thought about this what can I do about my life thing. I've thought about it for a long, long time. I decided that it does me absolutely no good. It only does me harm if I worry about things that haven't happened yet. And so I've really tried to make a point of pulling it in, reining it in, and just directing my concern to things that are going on right now. There's something I'm concerned about now. Okay, if there is, then I do something about that. You know, if it hasn't happened yet, I'll save that and worry about it when it happens.
If it has happened, there's still nothing you can do about it.
No, right.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. We can't go back in time. No right. time machine. We don't have
even
that.
From the past. There's nothing we can do to fix that. Really.
Yes, and so you can't control that if it hasn't happened, and if it has happened. So what you can't control. So remember, you can't control what has happened. You can't fully control your thoughts and your emotions, even.
Not fully. No.
No. No. And you can't completely control other people. Darn.
I know. And, I don't know if that would make it better or worse if we could do that.
And I have to say it like this. You can't entirely control the future. There are ways that you can help make the future different now, and better.
Yeah, and point three that we're going to make in a minute
yes,
is a part
we're
of that.
Tell you that.
Changing
so
your future.
Stay
a
here. Don't change channels. yeah, so this is the Getting Better show. And so what Ann and Jim do is teach you how to always get better. And to not get stuck so that you get sick. We run clinics, so we don't want you unwell. And we see a lot of people out there, the anger is getting higher. We don't want you handling that unwell. We don't want you to, we want you to stay clear.
Right.
We want you to be able to use this to catapult you in the future in good ways. Anyway, that's my little thing. But you can control what you focus on. And this is what is cool. And Dr. Wallach, who's nominated, he's a naturopathic doctor that was nominated for the Nobel Prize in Nutrition. He says, you aren't what you eat, you are what you absorb. And I thought that was cool because we believe what you focus on, what you absorb, is also mentally and emotionally how you change.
Yes, true that way too.
Yes.
Right.
And so not only you can control what you focus on, you can control what things mean. And you can control how you believe.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things we can do when we can't control something, that is, we are not able to get rid of whatever stressor is there. There's just no way to do it. Then we shift other things. We shift the way we think about it. We shift away the way that we behave when with it. You know, we change our lifestyle or something. So that means we shift our thinking. We use techniques and skills mm-hmm. to live better with it. And so that's what she's talking about.
Yes, because, you know, for me, what it meant to have my family get this money meant completely something different to what other people were saying, mm-hmm. right? And so they had framed it in a way that was jealous and resentful and envious and bitter. And, I mean, I just don't even think that way. I don't. And I don't want to think that way. And I'm so thankful that I've learned, and we've learned this, so, you know, we just learned this over time, to focus on things that we actually can change. Mm-hmm. To focus on what they mean, that we can do, and yep. focus on what we believe. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's what catapults you forward. If you just focus on the bad, even speaking it out, then that makes you sick, which right. is what Joel Osteen talks about.
Right. And, you know, we had read some of his stuff lately that dealt with this. Would it be okay if I share a quote
yes.
from him?
Yeah. Thank you.
Because we thought this was really helpful. Joel Osteen, his book, I Declare, that's recently come out, says this: here's what I've learned. You believe what you say about yourself more than what anybody else says. That's why on a regular basis, we should say, I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I'm valuable. I'm talented. I have a bright future. Those words go out of your mouth and come right back into your own ears. Over time, they will create the same image on the inside.
Well, but what's so interesting about Joel Osteen when he talks about words? I mean, for him, words, all kinds of words are very powerful. Mm-hmm. Bad words are powerful in a bad way, negative words, and good words are positive in a good way. And so he even says, if you think something negative or bad about yourself or whatever, don't even say it out loud. Because don't speak it out. Because if you speak it out, it has power. And words have power when you speak them out, which is interesting because I thought, you know what? It's interesting that even spells, when witches do spells or spells, I think witches, but maybe some other people too. But spells, you have to speak them out. Even if you read them, it's not going to work. You have to speak them out. So words have power, good and bad. And so saying all these negative things brings a negative power. It brings you down, makes you sick. Mm-hmm. And speaking positive things. So we talk about the power of positive talk a lot. But when I hadn't thought of it the way that Joel Osteen talks about it. When you read more about what he believes and how he runs his life and you really go into, you know, reading more deeply about him, you find out that he doesn't even speak it out. So if you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. See, now he wouldn't say that out loud.
Right.
He would, if he thinks it, he would turn around and say the opposite. Out loud, he would say, gosh, I have so much energy today. It's going to be a blessed day. It's going to be a fantastic day. I am favored by God, or something like that.
So rather than looking in the mirror and saying, oh my gosh, look at those wrinkles, I should say, wow, look at that handsome guy looking
exactly.
back at me.
Exactly.
It's
all beautiful. Yes. And he probably
does that. But
that's
true. That is really, honestly, that's true. And what we think about tends to come about. That's a fact.
And it is weird that words have power like that. And I and when I hear somebody who says a lot of negative things a lot, I almost cringe because I know it's hurting them. And I try to talk to them a little about it. I don't lay it on real thick. But if you know someone like that, Joel Osteen's book, I Declare, he's teaching you how to have power over your days, every day, and how to really, I guess, catapult you to a good place quicker. But it also helps these people understand that the power of their words, the power negative or the power positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Joel is a preacher of God's grace and blessing. And there is this huge place in the whole world for him and his message.
And some people, you know, if they listen to the whole church service, which most people don't, they just listen to his message. Mm-hmm. The whole church service encompasses all of church, and they share the gospel. They do everything like that. So when I've heard people say, he never shares the gospel or whatever, they're only hearing like 1/4 of the worship service. And so they're not even hearing everything. They're not hearing the singing, and they're not, you know what I'm saying? And so, but definitely, if you focus on what you can control, and you remember you can't completely control people or things, other things like that, you will not fall into the other three bad things that mentally strong people don't do. And what are those? You won't be wasting energy on things you can control. Okay, so not only are you, when you focus on that, not only you're focusing on that, you're also wasting energy on that. And it drains your body of energy.
It really does. I mean, you can feel it just sapping your strength and draining your energy right away.
Yes, and you stop giving people your power. And that is where people can talk negative to you and it drains you again. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to give them that power. Okay, so you want to get power back and then stop trying. You stop also trying to please everybody because, oh my gosh, you couldn't do it. You could not do it. You literally could not do it right now because everybody contradicts everybody else. And so how are you possibly going to make the mass people happy? Because you wear it or you don't wear it, or the science, which is changing, I mean, constantly. Based on what we knew about science before, healthy people didn't quarantine in and healthy people didn't wear masks and things like this. But all of a sudden they flipped it on us. So you can't make everyone happy. And so you stop trying. So by not focusing on what you can't control, then you're free to use that energy in a much more powerful way. Stay here.
To admit it's getting better, a little better.
You're getting better all the time. Now back to Ann Beal on 1160 AM KBDT.
So mentally strong people don't make the same mistake over and over.
No, they change something. Yes, they do.
They make a change. And so they don't metaphorically, and I mentioned this earlier, I mean about us, but metaphorically they don't dust themselves off and get right back on the horse. They pause to figure out why they fell off in the first place before getting back on. And so on the break, we were talking about that because you had a horse turn real quick and you just went right off. Mm-hmm. And I had a horse buck. I mean, we've had things, right? But when your horse turned real quickly, you analyzed it and thought, okay, I'm not going to let him do that anytime we get to that crossroads. Mm-hmm. And I knew that when I got bucked off and I landed on my feet the first time and I couldn't figure out what was wrong, I very gently put my foot in the stirrup. I didn't just jump right back in because I didn't know what the horse was. I saw that she was getting antsy and look like she would do it again. So then I knew to analyze her shoes, look at her legs, her shoes, saddle, check everything before I get back on. And you know, she ended up being injured. And I think that part of it is analyzing why. And so what's happening in the world today, analyzing why, instead of just going back to normal, you know, analyzing what happened, how did this happen, why, all that's not bad. And I think that's why people were willing to shelter in place to flatten the curve.
I think most everybody was willing to do whatever they needed to be needed to do.
And it sounded very logical, right? Even though the more you learn about immunology and virology, by whatever you call that, viruses, you learn, okay, maybe not. But it all made it seem logical. But now it's not logical. Everything is crazy. It depends on what city, what state, what town, what, you know what I'm saying? It's all, and the science is different depending on who you talk to, and it's really insane right now. And so I think that analyzing is good, but when you own and study your mistakes, you're less likely to slide back into your old ways. Now, for me, when I got bucked off and it ended up that Sierra was injured a little bit, I did not check her before we left. And normally I do that. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that, oh, crap, I didn't do an analysis like I normally do. I say crap. Sorry. Is that okay? Okay, she's not here. You're laughing at me. Okay. Okay. And so experience less resistance to owning and studying a mistake. So when you own and study your mistakes, you're less likely to slide back into them. Okay. So people who tend to repeat the same mistake over and over, I'm asking you to think about this, okay? Because you experience less resistance to owning and studying a mistake you've made by imagining it was made by someone else. And you're going to help someone else not do it again.
You're becoming objective towards it, and you're looking at it as if you are the helper in this case.
Yeah. And it's amazing what we can do when we do it that way. When we're helping somebody else, mm-hmm. we can always tell other people.
Right.
Right? And that's what people are out there doing.
Yes.
But to actually fix their own selves, check yourself. I don't know what actor said that. That was in a movie. I don't know. It's that funny movie that they were. Well,
people will call in and let you know, though.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself or something like that. Okay, I'm going to go on. Okay. So imagining it's someone else, and you see yourself in the third person, mm-hmm. and identify the factors that led them to make the mistake, their thoughts, their behaviors, and other factors, you know, that have to do with that. Mm-hmm. So you're analyzing it basically for them, which we can so easily do when it's someone else. We can always analyze someone else's life. And that's what we want you to do, to think of it as someone else. Then, like a coach giving homework, coach, not mom, not boss, not judge, kind, remember to be kind. So like a coach, coaches can be firm, and we are life coaches as well. We're not mean to our clients. We don't, you know, we don't tell them what to do, but we coach them. So coach this person, giving them homework, like to a student, write down an alternative action. So you've analyzed it, and you're helping them by writing down an alternative action for them. So they can take it with them. So the next time they have those same thoughts or behaviors or external factors, they'll know what to do and behave differently, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because you've helped them. Right. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, I think it's really a great idea. One person described it as actually imagining yourself looking through the window. You're outside the house looking mm-hmm. through the window at yourself inside doing all this stuff. And it's a much more objective approach. You can really think things through so much better when you objectify things like that. And it's not so personal.
Well, in coaching, when we have people go on their retreat mm-hmm. to really rewire, we have them see themselves as someone else, helping that yeah. child uh-huh. or helping that person. So that way you can do it. So we just want you to carry this list. Make yourself a list of what to do different next time. Mm-hmm. And all the reasons you don't want it to happen the way it happened before. So you have your list of how to change that, and you want to carry that with you when you're tempted to resort to your previous patterns. So list it out for yourself. And then you won't fall into those other three mistakes that mentally strong people don't do, like stop fearing calculated risk, okay? You don't want to be afraid all the time. So we want to, instead of being afraid and sheltered in afraid, we want you to think about what you can do to make it better. And that's what everybody needs to do. And that will bring your anger down. And you will be able to be clear and well and healthy. So remember, getting better in every way, every day.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring. Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.